How do we continue faithfully to confess and practice our Lutheran faith in a culture of secularism, pluralism, and relativism? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for November is the 2017 edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation, 2017 edition.
Who thinks they're entitled to sex? Well, the rapist thinks he's entitled to sex. And that's the straight line that I draw from the ideology of the sexual revolution to Harvey Weinstein.
When the pastor in whose house I lived called Hitler from the pulpit the Redeemer, the organist said to me, whispered into my ear, he's lying, he's betraying our Lord.
I can tell you that I am absolutely committed. In fact, I would rather die than give up the Book of Concord, because the Book of Concord confesses the truths of Holy Scripture.
Uber drivers around the world love listening to Issues Etc. on demand while we're waiting for a ride request.
Well, it took a long time for the media and the world to catch up, but there are people who have been anticipating what we celebrated this week, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, for a very, very long time. Those early on who thought that the Reformation was a flash in the pan have, well, at least been proven wrong for the last 500 years. There are a lot of people who will leave on the doorstep of the Reformation some very nasty accusations, but that has always been the case, hasn't it, for the last 500 years. If you're going to stand in a pulpit on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation and preach a sermon on that occasion, if not on that subject, so to speak, you have to answer one question, I imagine, and that is, what is it we're really celebrating? What is it we really ought to be celebrating, even on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? How different is that sermon going to be from, well, a sermon you hear on one of the days that isn't the 500th anniversary of the Reformation? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be listening to a Reformation service sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison, a frequent guest here on the program, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, in the first 20 minutes of the program or so. After that, we will do part 7 of our series on the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. We are on the petition, "Lead us not into temptation." Why does temptation get an entire petition all its own? Terry Mattingly will be our guest to talk about a feature in the Washington Post on Rod Dreher, author of The Benedict Option. He says, in many ways, it just didn't get religion and the place of religion in that man's life and work. And we will talk about two subjects with Margot Cleveland of The Federalist, a pro-abortion litigation tactic that looks a little bit like preparation for at least the possibility of an America without Roe v. Wade. And we'll also talk with her about Harvey Weinstein's employment contract, which will shock you. It appears the Weinstein Company profited from his various dalliances and indiscretions and illegal activities, because he was required in his contract to pay the company when he got in trouble for those kinds of things. You can join us over the next 2 hours with your questions, your comments. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Let's listen to this Reformation service sermon that was preached on Reformation Day, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation, by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Keep this question in your mind. What is it we ought to be celebrating on a day like that?
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Boy, am I glad we changed from the NIV to the ESV for the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. The NIV says, "The kingdom of God advances forcefully, and forceful men lay hold of it." The reading which we just read says, the kingdom of God suffers violence, and violent men lay hold of it. We could do a lot of chest bumping and fist pumping on the 500th, couldn't we? And we could talk about the great hero, Luther. But that wouldn't be Lutheran at all. Luther said, a person does not come to God through self-chosen acts, but rather through the cross, death, hell, and suffering. The cross alone is our theology. Where does this church stand today? What is our situation? There's only a Minderheit, a small, tiny percentage of people who actually attend church in Germany and Scandinavia. The Falke Day, the 11 formerly Lutheran state churches, have an openly gay bishop. The Scandinavian churches have the same issues. Our small partner church is tiny, 25,000 people or so, although it's growing because Muslims are converting to Lutheranism. True. I do not need to comment on the ELCA. Lutheranism is dwindling in the West and North. Two-thirds of the Missouri Synod are people born into it. One-third are converts into it. The birth rate and the highest level of births we ever had in Missouri was 1959. We had a 4% birth rate per year. Today, our birth rate is 1%. 1%. That's a very difficult percentage, and it means decline. You say evangelism? Yes, evangelism. And we do evangelize because people need to know Jesus. The Missouri Synod is better at evangelism than the Southern Baptists numerically. You'd never guess that. And if our level of evangelism would climb to that of the Mormons, the best of any American denomination, that would only mean a difference of 3,800 people a year, which is roughly the loss of membership in two significant districts of the Missouri Synod. We face a very significant challenge. The percentage of Christians in the United States has dropped from 78 to 71% overall. Good news, even though we don't have enough kids, young people having babies, those young people are having more kids than Catholics. That's true. Is there going to be a 600th anniversary? The kingdom of God suffers violence. Let's look back. 1917, Otto Stalky, who used to teach at this institution, told me one time that when he was a kid, this car drove up and this Englishman asked him for directions. It was the first time he ever tried to speak English. He grew up in Hamburg, Minnesota. He said during World War I, the neighboring English town came over and threw yellow paint on the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod church building, and tarred and feathered their pastor. This all stopped when it came out that the German town was giving more war bonds than the English town. Lutheranism survived, and then another terrible episode drawing Germany and the United States into irrevocable war. The greatest theologian at the time of that of that anniversary was a Lutheran son, Otto von Harnack, who believed only enough of the Bible to say that Jesus probably said the Beatitudes and the Lord's Prayer, nothing else. In 1817, on that anniversary, the Prussian king decided that there will no longer be two churches in his realm, 24 Reformed congregations and 7,000 Lutheran congregations, the largest Lutheran church in the world. And so he eliminated the Lutheran church, and he called it all an evangelical church. For that Reformation anniversary, in Prussia, the largest Lutheran church in the world, the Book of Concord had been outlawed. It became illegal to study theology at Wittenberg University. Finally, they closed Wittenberg University when, after the Napoleonic Wars, Prussia took a hold of Sachsen-Anhalt, and the seat of what remained of Lutheran Orthodoxy was gone and has been gone in Wittenberg to this day. Violent men lay hold of it. The result was the rebirth of Lutheranism. Klaus Harms said, "Consummate this union over the bones of Luther in Wittenberg here, and woe to you, they'll rise up." The result was C.F.W. Walther and Wilhelm Lea and the Missouri Synod and the other Midwestern Lutheran synods. 1717. Three parties were struggling on that anniversary. You had the Orthodox Lutherans who were celebrating this event. You had the Pietists who turned away from all kind of doctrine and dogma and internalized everything and became sure of Jesus in their lives by how they felt inside. You're familiar with this. And then there was the Rationalist Party who didn't believe in miracles anymore. The three are struggling. Not only that, just before that anniversary, the king, who was by law head of the Saxon Church, the most important church in all of Lutheranism, the head of the Saxon Church, Luther's own church, in order to gain the Polish crown, turned Roman Catholic. The kingdom suffers violence. That meant Prussia was the leading Lutheran state. What about 1617? It was a glorious celebration. However, already at that time, the rising tide of deism showed its face. And at that time, the Prussian king went over formally. Just before then, he goes over formally, takes communion in a Reformed church, leaves Lutheranism, and tries to force the entire Prussian church to become Reformed. Thousands of pastors suffered. And the Prussian house becomes Reformed all the way into the future.
We're listening to a Reformation service sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. So far, he's walking back through the centuries and these centenary anniversaries, kind of saying, what did it look like then? And the theme seems to be emerging from the text he's using, the kingdom of God suffers at the hands of violent men. A good question he's posed. Will there be a 600th anniversary? If our track record so far, as he's enumerated as a catalog of apparent setbacks, is any indication, maybe not. We'll see. When we come back from this break, what about the first year of the Reformation, 1517? I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues, Etc.
If you have a middle school-aged child or grandchild in the St. Louis Metro East, encourage them to attend an open house from 1 to 3 in the afternoon on Sunday, November the 5th at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois. You can meet faculty, staff, administration, students, and parents. Learn more by calling 618-656-0043 or visit melhs.org. Open house, 1 to 3 Sunday afternoon, November the 5th, at Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville.
Concordia Publishing House's annual warehouse sale is both online and in store. Take advantage of discounted prices on many of the items you hear promoted on Issues Etc. November 2nd through the 6th. You'll find major cost savings on books, music, Bibles, educational resources, and more. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, cph.org, and 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
LCMS Disaster Response provides guidance and assistance to congregations who seek to proclaim the gospel and show mercy in the wake of disasters. We can bring capacity to your congregation through on-site assessment, volunteer training and congregation preparedness, and through grants direct to your congregation. For more information, follow us on Facebook, keyword LCMS Disaster Response, or visit our website at lcms.org/disaster. That's lcms.org/disaster.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're listening to a Reformation sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, on the occasion of the Reformation's 500th anniversary. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale begins today, and it runs through November 6th. You'll find more than 1,500 items on sale, up to 90% off. Go to their website, cph.org, or you can show up in person, 3558 South Jefferson in St. Louis. Concordia Publishing House's Fall Warehouse Sale, November 2nd through the 6th. Well, so far we've heard a reverse history of the Reformation, punctuated every 100 years, a little picture of what things were like when Lutherans were celebrating the 400th, 300th, 200th, and 100th anniversary. Up next, what about 1517 itself?
What about 1517? The kingdom of God suffers violence. Luther was on the third floor behind his house, Augustinian Monastery in Wittenberg, third floor, above the toilet. It's been excavated now, you can see it. And Luther said one time he had his discovery in cloaca, on the toilet. And I'm convinced what he was doing was, he was just saying, I was in my study three floors above, but he liked to tweak people all the time with that kind of stuff. He comes out of the monastery. Wittenberg is a cow town, a cow town's cow town, in the sticks. A very insignificant place. There are gullies running through the middle of town, thatched roofs, mud houses in some cases. He walks to the other end of town, takes him 8 minutes, and he nails the 95 Theses on the castle church door in Wittenberg for debate. The first of those theses says, when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ says, repent, he wills that the entire life of the Christian be one of repentance. Luther had a tender conscience. He had believed, he had come to believe in a medieval theology of piety and humility, where if you follow the imitation of Christ, you could hope that God might somehow be merciful in spite of this whole sacrificial system of indulgences and other things in the Roman Catholic Church. when Luther posted his theses, there were 17 side altars in the castle church, and there were monks day and night with foundations behind them supporting the prayers for the living and the dead, the sacrifice of the Mass for the living and the dead, 24/7. The crazy Germans even kept records on how many candles they used that year in 1517, some 6,000. Luther comes along and he changes the whole trajectory. He doesn't have it clear at first, this October 31st. Things start to heat up. He let his bishops know what he was writing, sent them letters and the theses on the same day, this day, 500 years ago. All of a sudden, you know, and I know how things work in the church, they start heating up after two or three weeks after somebody comes out with a controversial position. And then the private talks start intensely, and then somebody leaks that, and somebody leaks this, and pretty soon you have a public conflagration. That's what happened. Luther is driven to study the scriptures. He's been teaching at Wittenberg. He's been teaching the book of Galatians, the book of Romans. He's been now into Hebrews, and he's understanding what the sacrifice of Christ is all about. And it wasn't until February where he finally realizes something absolutely extraordinary. There's a happy exchange. That is, Jesus takes on all that is mine, my sin, my death, my hell, and he gives me his mantle of righteousness, Luther says. He gives me his life, his baptism, his keeping of the law, everything that is his death for sin, his suffering, his resurrection. It's all mine. It's a happy switch, and it all comes to me freely by grace. But ironically, it was at this time that some of Luther's old friends were abandoning him. Erasmus abandoned him. Trutvetter, his old prophet Erfurt, couldn't go along with it, abandoned him. He had Spalatin and some of the university profs at his place. But he tells to his closest friends, I have never been so alone in my life. The kingdom of God suffers violence. But I ask you one question. After all that, we're still here. Ha ha! We're still here. Can you believe it? Is that God's grace or what? We're here. We've got friends tonight from Makani Yesus. Christianity in Africa and the South, many places, is growing. Makani Yesus has 9 million members this year. They're struggling to regain a Lutheran understanding of theology and practice. But they're here, and they're our friends. Madagascar, 4.5 million, are our friends. They exist today. They've broken ties with the northern churches over the sexuality issues especially. Tanzania is visiting us, 6.5 million. There are so many churches coming to us. I get calls or letters of new churches coming to us every week or two. Why? We have a message. We know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. So that every mouth be stopped and the whole world held accountable to God. Every mouth be stopped. Oh, we're great. We're, you know, my parents were Lutheran, their parents were Lutheran. Every mouth be stopped. I'm not that bad. I'm trying to be a good person. And certainly there are other people who are much worse than I am. I'm trying to follow the commandments. Every mouth be stopped. Shut up. There's one thing the law says, guilty. Luther said that the law says one word, do this and it's never done. The gospel says this, done, and it's forever done by Christ. Because out of works of the law, no flesh will be justified. No flesh. That's a Hebraism. It means everybody. No flesh will be justified. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, apart from law, a righteousness of God made evident, borne witness to by the law and the prophets. It's in the Bible. Borne witness to by the Old Testament. Wounded for our transgressions, Isaiah says of him. A righteousness of God that comes through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no difference. There's not one difference between any one of us. Every single human being that has ever lived lives now and will live, has been a sinner. And every one of them needs Christ. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely. It's free. By His grace, through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, which God set forth as a hilasterion. That's a mercy seat. That's the top, the covering. That's the covering of the Ark of the Covenant, inside which was the Ten Commandments. The high priest would sacrifice the lamb, take the blood from that sacrifice, after having confessed the sins of the people, take the blood of that sacrifice onto the lamb, take that blood and sprinkle it on the altar. That's who Jesus is. He covers everything. He covers you. Now, forever. My friends, the Lord Christ is with us. A person does not come to God through self-chosen acts, but rather through the cross, death, hell, and suffering. The cross alone is our theology. We are called to live now, here, to bear witness now, here. To be Lutherans now, here. Let's be it. And we know from the past that we can trust in God to be faithful. God grant it in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
That's a Reformation service sermon preached by Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. That question, what are we really celebrating? If you look back over the history, there isn't a lot to celebrate. It's a pretty patchwork history. It is, in a lot of ways, a catalog of apparent setbacks and failures, failures of conviction, of courage on the part of people who were Lutheran. That's the human history part of it. Then there is the God that was always there in His Word and His sacraments, always forgiving, always securing the message of Jesus Christ and Him for sinners, wherever, whenever it failed in the mouths and minds of men, God saw to it that it was carried on someplace else. And things, by comparison, nowadays look, well, pretty good, but there's no guarantee of a 600th anniversary of the Reformation, not under the name Lutheran necessarily, but the message, the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, as all-sufficient, only sufficient for the sins of all the world, that cannot fail. It will not fail. And 100 years from now, men will still be speaking that gospel. And 100 years from now, men will still be, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that miracle worked through the Word of God, believing that gospel. That's what we're really celebrating. On the subject of preaching, Preach the Word helps pastors work together to improve their preaching through video modules with accompanying resources and by interacting with seminary professors and their fellow preachers. You can learn more at lcms.org/preachtheword, lcms.org/preachtheword. When we come back on the other side of the break, we will take up part 7 of our series on the Lord's Prayer with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, taking up the petition, "Lead us not into temptation."
come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
Greetings to you from the heart of Texas. I am Pastor Mark Knuckles, the senior pastor of St. Paul Lutheran Church and School. We are the LCMS Mother Church of Austin and are situated just blocks from the University of Texas. Liturgical in worship and confessional in teaching, we are a dual parish with the only Lutheran deaf congregation in the Austin area, Jesus Lutheran Church of the Deaf. Come see what God is doing among us through His Word and His sacraments.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Lutheranism in the Public Square. You're listening to Issues Etc.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, cpsprep.com.
Children are a heritage from the Lord, but what of those who've not been given the gift of a child? The cross of barrenness affects not only childless couples, it affects the family, friends, and pastors who love and care for them. I'm Katie Schuerman, and I'm partnering with Emmanuel Press to publish the second edition of my book, He Remembers the Barren, a story about the hope and contentment found only in Christ, no matter the cross we bear. Visit emmanuelpress.us to learn more. EmmanuelPress.us.